Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, strike updates from American and United Airlines. A historic Hawaiian landmark is being rebuilt on the island of Kauai. Those stories and more next in the travel news.
At 11:20 in our Smarter Travelers segment, it brings a warning for travelers. COVID is experiencing a bit of a bounce. And besides getting an updated vaccination, there are some basic COVID prevention concepts we need to remember to keep a lid on infections. And we tell you how to find out if your flights what your flight's on-time record is.
Reporter Clayton Whitehead spent 10 days exploring Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, places I suspect most travelers have not seen. At 11:35, he joins us to share his experiences and suggests you might want to add these former Soviet states to your travel wish list.
Finally, in our odds and ends bit at 11:55, we discuss visitor behavior in our national parks and how it's getting worse.
We're here to make sure you are informed the next time you leave home to travel. It's our job. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on kind of a muggy Saturday morning. Tom Romano here with you, along with Mark Kaufman, the guy who was truly born under a wandering star. There's no doubt about it. Thanks for joining us, Mark. Good to see you. We got lots to cover here in the
show. With travel has been the lead story for the last, about 30 hours now because of that huge computer issue, the technology issue with the CrowdStrike update, which has hit almost every major airline. We'll tell you which one it didn't hit in just a second and why. But as you heard at the top of the hour, already over 1,000 flights have been dumped today. American apparently has recovered pretty much. Delta was the airline that was most hit yesterday, and I noticed at the top of the hour they didn't mention Delta at all. So that would tend to tell me that they're probably still having issues. Of course, anytime something like this happens, it's not just a one-day issue. It becomes a three-day issue because now your planes are in the wrong place and your crews have run out of hours. So a crew that was supposed to go out this morning on a flight that got in 4.5 hours late yesterday is now no longer available to work today. So you got to figure out something else, or you have to ditch the flight from this morning and just leave the plane sitting there. Well, if you ditch the first flight and the plane doesn't get where it's going, then you've also ditched the second flight and maybe the third flight and so on. So these things tend to cascade. So even if you're sitting there thinking, you know, this isn't going to affect me, I'm traveling Sunday or Monday, I've got two groups leaving town tomorrow morning. So, and I'm with one of them. So it is definitely fortunate we didn't have anybody traveling yesterday. But if you are traveling in the next couple of days, be a smarter traveler and check your United has a terrific app. So they will tell you where your plane is coming from, and generally the information is pretty truthful. Not every other airline has that, but in some cases you can at least find out. You can track to where your plane is or where it's coming from or whether it's on time or not. And that might save you from going out and sitting out at the airport for, you know, 2 or 3 hours for a flight that's delayed. So stay on top of things. Hopefully it will continue to get better. We don't have any severe weather outbreaks anywhere in the country, so hopefully this will get better in another 36 hours or so. By the end of the day tomorrow, I'm sure it'll be old news.
What about that one airlines that didn't have any glitches?
Ah, good question, my fellow travel guy. Believe it or not, Southwest did not. They report they didn't cancel. Now, there were 1,600 cancellations yesterday. Southwest reports they didn't cancel a single flight because of the problem. They had about 40% of their schedule was delayed yesterday. My guess is that some of that had to do with problems at airports with other carriers that Southwest just got trapped into, you know, planes that are late and stuff like that, and Southwest got into that mix. But and the reason that their system didn't get caught in all this is not particularly good news, but it's kind of ironic because, you know, a couple years ago they had that horrible meltdown at Christmas. The reason their system didn't get caught this time is because there are still elements of it that are about 30 years old. And so they weren't modernized enough to get caught up in the problem. So if you were flying Southwest yesterday, you probably got where you were going. That doesn't count people with connections and stuff, but they had many fewer cancellations and a much higher what they call completion rate than any other major carrier.
Using an old Windows platform 3.1, which most people living today didn't even have on their computers that they bought originally, so and chose to, well, it couldn't be updated because it was so archaic.
Yeah.
So there you go. You know, it is so common with computers to do an add-on or a pit, and it'll cause more problems than it solves. Well, there we go. Glad we could help you out with that. Stay tuned. There'll be more, I'm sure, at the top of the next hour. In the meantime, let's get to the travel news. As always, at the top of the show, and with it, here's Mark.
Denver says that last year they had a record number of travelers come to Denver, 37 million people. Why is that, you would say? Why would Denver be the big spot?
Well, they weren't really going to Denver. They were just passing through Denver, right?
This doesn't count people who were passing through.
Oh, really?
So the number is much bigger than that. Because United and Southwest have hubs in Denver. There are not very many other airports that in the country that have two major carriers that have hubs. So fares in and out of Denver, because of that intense competition, are a lot cheaper from major cities than they are just about anywhere else. And so if you're looking for someplace cheap to go, you're going to get an inexpensive fare to Denver, because United and Southwest fly there nonstop many times a day. And even if you took Delta and connected in Salt Lake City, or American through Phoenix, or, you know, went around your elbow to get to another body part, still the fare is going to be much cheaper, because they have to, even the guys who stop, have to compete with the nonstop fares. So Denver is a place to go if you want, if you're just looking to pull a rabbit out of your hat. The Rocky Mountains are close by. Soon it'll be fall color season in the Rockies. You can drive to Rapid City and the Black Hills within a day from Denver with a rental car. Airfares, round trip to the Black Hills are about $1,000. Round trip airfares to Denver are about $300. There you go. Mm-hmm. Let's see. New rules make it harder for canines to travel to the U.S. Incoming travelers who want to bring a dog to the U.S. will have to equip them with a microchip and present an import form signed by a official government veterinarian from their country after August the 1st. Under new Centers for Disease Control rules, the Canadian government has yet to work out a similar plan, but they work out their plan, canine travel between the United States and Canada may not be possible. So if you are traveling with a dog or another animal after the 1st of August, know that if you're leaving the country, that there are new rules to get back. You may not have new rules going to wherever you're going, but new rules coming home. So would it be bad if you got Fido out of the country and you couldn't get Fido back into the country? That would be a bit of a problem. So
that would be a problem.
A
yes.
Warning, red flag, if you're traveling with your dog and you're traveling internationally after the 1st of August, you want to be aware, because there are some new rules and some new things that you want to be aware of. You think Taylor Swift doesn't have an impact on the economy? Southwest is adding more than 10 flights to its schedule to help Taylor Swift fans attend her October concerts in New Orleans and Miami. A Convention and Visitors Bureau person in New Orleans says that having a Taylor Swift concert in your city is equivalent to hosting one of the 10 biggest conventions of the year.
Wow.
He says the economic impact. He said also it's significant to note that Swifties spend about 16% more on the average than typical conventioneers. So not only are Swifties, not only are there a lot of them, but they spend a lot of money. Listen, strike update here. United Airlines flight attendant union leadership has voted to authorize a strike. Remember, that means that there's a whole lot of procedures that have to happen before a strike can occur. This has happened with just about every other major carrier's flight attendants over the last 4 or 5 months. And witness the fact that American Airlines flight attendants this week now say that they have a tentative agreement. They were at the top of the strike pack last week. So hopefully that will all work out for. We won't have any strikes going on. Listen, this is kind of cool. I didn't know this, because this is a 3-month-old story. They're rebuilding the Coco Palms Resort on Kauai.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, it's been an eyesore for 3 decades since the hurricane hit it in the early 90s. It's by the side of the highway there, north of the airport, and it's north of Lihue, and it looks awful. I mean, it really looks awful. And as time goes by, it looks more awful. But they are redeveloping it. Not everybody on Kauai is thrilled about this, but they say it's going to be a year and a half before it reopens. But the old Cocoa Palms, if you're under the age of 40, you probably have no idea what we're talking about. But the Cocoa Palms was a resort that Elvis Presley played at on the island of Kauai. And very, very famous resort that folks flocked to for many, many years. It like I said, the Hurricane Iniki in the early 90s pretty much wiped it out. The new resort is going to have 350 accommodations spread across 3 low-rise hotel structures as well as cottages. So the Cocoa Palms, imagine that if you got married there or something like that eons ago, you might be able to go back and relive that moment.
You're right.
Wouldn't that
you don't
be
want to go
cool?
back? You don't want to go back and relive the moment that it got wiped out. A friend of mine was there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I think we interviewed him, Paul. He talked about
his
car rental turned into nothing but scrap metal when it was all done.
Anyway,
moving on.
One last story here. NFL legend Terrell Davis considers a lawsuit against United Airlines. Apparently, he was flying on a plane. He wanted something from a flight attendant. He says he tapped the flight attendant on the arm. When the plane landed, law enforcement people got on the plane, put him in handcuffs, took him off the plane. He's not very happy about it. His story is that he literally tapped a male flight attendant on the arm. And we don't have the other side of the story here, so it's kind of hard to say. It sounds a little weird and a little strange. Sometimes flight attendants have been known to get on power trips. Sometimes people have been known to say they tapped the flight attendant when that wasn't exactly what they did. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyways, United says it has removed the flight attendant in question from their current employment. Davis, of course, was the NFL MVP in 1998 and also a Super Bowl MVP. And that is your travel news for today.
Saw an interview with Terrell on TV with his wife and kids, and they were all pretty horrified. Besides, you know, the impact on him, you're a young child, you know, you're 8,
yep,
7, and you watch the police come on and handcuff and take your dad off the plane is going to have a lasting impression. Okay, we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. I got some good news from Rudy's Hideaway to share with you. Number one, Rudy's has working air conditioning. Always works. So right now, you wouldn't think that was such a big draw. But right now, you know what? Great air conditioning at Rudy's Hideaway. And also, they've extended their special for the prime rib and scampi special, $29.95, going to last to the end of July. And of course, Mark, as we know, the Travel Guy special.
Yeah, that's the lobster, the 6-ounce lobster tail with all the trimmings for $29.95. Now, remember, these two special deals, with the lobster one, you got to mention the Travel Guys. It's not a discount off the regular price. It's just a special thing that you can get off the menu that not everybody knows about. So don't tell everybody.
All right. And remember, when you go there and you tell them the Travel Guys sent you, that means you're asking for the special and not a comp meal. I just thought I'd point that out. There was some confusion at one point at Rudy's. All right. Don't forget, Rudy's always great for steaks, lobster, seafood, you name it, and great beverages right there off of Highway 50 in Hazel. Once again, tell them the Travel Guys sent you in. Live and local, I think is what they say. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Speaking of which, Mark, you mentioned at the top of the show you were heading off with 2 groups of travelers. This must be a very popular place. Where are you going?
Well, there are 2 groups leaving tomorrow. Only one's going with me, but we're both going to the Pacific Northwest. Because this is the time of the year when you go there. One group is headed to Vancouver, and most of their time will be spent in Victoria, which is absolutely one of the most gorgeous. If you've never been to Victoria, you can get there with Alaska Airlines really easily, or now Air Canada to Vancouver and over to Victoria. You owe it to yourself to put that on your list, because it's really a spectacular place. I'm taking people to Puget Sound. We're flying into Seattle tomorrow morning, and then we're going to spend 4 nights at a place called Clearwater, which is a Susquamish resort on the opposite the bay from Seattle over on Puget Sound. It's just every room has a full-on view of the sound, and it's a casino hotel, but the casino is in a separate building about 100 yards down the walkway, so if you didn't know the casino was there and you didn't go inside it, you'd never know it was there. So that's my idea of a great casino hotel, is it has the amenities, but if I don't want them, it doesn't slop over. Great restaurants, really nice people. We've been going for a long time, a trip that sells out very quickly every year, and I'm really lucky to be in the business. You know, while you all are dealing with 106 and 107 and stuff like that, it'll be in the mid-70s up on the Sound. So it's a cool place to go.
And you're not going to tell us the name of the hotel, are you? You're going to keep it a big secret.
It's the Clearwater Resort. It's a Suquamish
resort. Said that, yes. The Clearwater Resort.
Just north of Bainbridge. You take the ferry from Seattle, or you can drive around the Sound, but you take the ferry from Seattle and to Bainbridge, and then it's about a 15-minute drive away. There's a wonderful little thing there in town in Bainbridge, the Japanese Exclusion Memorial that I've talked about before that we're going to. That was one of the first places they evacuated Japanese citizens during World War II, and they did it a little differently because it was the beginning, and there's a great story there. If you ever go up there, make sure that you go and check it out.
All right, and as we promised, let's talk about the new COVID experience.
Yeah, this has become a little bit of a problem again. It's a nuisance more than anything else, because most people who are getting COVID now recover. It's like having a bad case of the flu. Not everybody. I'm one of those exceptions. I went to Newfoundland a couple of months ago and came back and had it and didn't know it for a while, and now I can't get rid of it. And so I'm not infectious or anything like that. It's just kind of that long COVID that's kind of hanging around. So you really don't want this. It's not like getting a cold or the flu. It can be worse than that. And people are still dying from this. So we need to go back to some of our old habits, like washing our hands. And I go into a lot of restrooms and airports, and when COVID was at its peak, all the guys were washing their hands when they came out of the restroom. That is not, I know how this doesn't sound all that wonderful, but now we're down to like 50. A lot of guys come out of the restroom, they never do anything. So that's an example of simple things that we're not doing that could prevent this thing from spreading. Right now, it's spreading around in 7 states, have very high levels of infection: Arkansas, Florida, Maryland, Nevada, Oregon, Texas, and California. Yes. So this has been verified because in Los Angeles County, the nation's most populous, coronavirus levels in wastewater have also increased dramatically over the last 4 to 6 weeks. So be smart. If you're traveling, you don't have to stand in a crowd of 50 people right next to the baggage claim for 15 minutes waiting for the baggage to come up. You can stand over in the corner away from all those people, and when you see your bag, go get it. There are some things like that that you can do that might keep you out of harm's way. So, you know, be smart. Think. You don't have to go over the deep end, but there are some smart things to do. And if you have a cold or the flu or something like that and you're traveling anyway, then wearing a mask or something to protect the rest of us certainly is not an inappropriate thing to do. So when you see somebody wearing a mask in an airport, don't automatically assume that they're a COVID fanatic. They might be doing something that is making the world just a tiny bit safer for you. So anyways, there's just some things that we need to remember. One other quick thing I wanted to talk about here, Tom, is how to find online the records for you're booking a flight and you want to know, I'm thinking about taking the 11 o'clock flight or the 2 o'clock flight, which one has a better on-time record, or does one have a really bad record? You can go online. We have put a link at TravelGuysRadio.com. this stuff used to be really readily available. Now every airline has a different way for you to find it, but by law they have to post this. So you can go to the airline's website. If you are interested in that information, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and there is a link there. That link will help explain with each of the major carriers how you find that information. If you're a fanatic and you want to know that, or you're just smart enough, if you have a flight in the middle of the day or late in the day and you don't check that before you go to the airport, then you're not a smarter traveler. And finally, one last thing here. You know how you go online and you're looking for you go to booking.com and you're looking for a hotel, and at some place in the process it says, hey, only two rooms left at this price.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Okay, so what that means is
you
that
you should book real fast.
Yeah.
You need to grab that room.
Exactly. What it means is that there are only two rooms left in their inventory for that hotel in that price category. So just to clarify, it doesn't mean that there are only two rooms left in the entire hotel, period, but it means that that booking agent only has that many rooms in that price category. My wisdom to you is check those things out, then go to the hotel's website. Oftentimes you will find the price is cheaper, and if anything goes wrong, you will find a much simpler solution awaits you.
Isn't it also true that some of that is not necessarily always the truth? Two left. Get it now before they're all gone.
Well,
first 10 callers get the prize.
And that's why they're now explaining, is because we're kind of cracking down on this stuff. And so they're saying, look, this means that these are the last rooms that we have. They might not be the last rooms available in the hotel.
Don't forget now, links to our special guests and lots more can always be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, who do we have sitting next to you there over at the Sports Leisure Vacations office and studio?
Well, reporter Clayton Whitehead has just come back from an adventure that, dare I say, at least from my standpoint, when you say adventures, this qualifies as an adventure. He has just come back from Eastern Europe. Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania?
That's right? Correct, yes.
So these were old Soviet states, and that were freed in the process of the breakup of the Soviet Union. They still border on Russia. I don't want to give away all of your excitement, so I'm just going to let you run with this. But I don't think that Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania are places that people say, oh, I really want to go there. I really want to go there.
I agree, but people should. People absolutely should. I went not knowing a lot about it, intentionally. This was my me vacation for the year, meaning I wasn't working. I wasn't taking a tour group.
Right.
This was just for me, and I wanted to go somewhere new. So the Baltic states had been kind of intriguing to me. And by the way, the Baltic states is kind of the collective, if you will, of these three former Soviet Union countries, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. Extreme Eastern Europe. You go one more step, you're in Russia. Europe, like the United States, is very distinctively different based on the region. Just like our East Coast and our West Coast and our Midwest are completely different from each other, Europe is very, very different in the East, in the West, and in the Middle, which they call Central Europe. I've done some exploring in Eastern Europe before. I've been to Poland, Slovakia, and Hungary. All three of them were amazing vacations. I learned a lot. I saw some great things. But meaning no disrespect whatsoever, those three countries were, I'd say, a little bit gritty. They were still kind of finding their way as countries, finding their way as tourism destinations, still very much trying to sort out their World War II past and all the atrocities of that period. Regardless of which side you were on, Eastern Europe was extraordinarily affected by World War II. So I was kind of expecting the same thing, if not more, from the Baltic states. I was expecting it to be a little gritty. I mean, these are countries that have only been independent for 33 years, and that's not long in the whole scope of time.
Not at all.
The Soviet Union having fallen back in December of 1991. And I tell you, from literally the moment that my plane landed, I was just blown away. There is nothing gritty about Estonia, Latvia, or Lithuania. They are sophisticated countries. They are beautiful countries, clean countries, very, very safe-feeling countries. I mean, yes, We knew that Russia was just over there. In fact, one day our travels took us so close to the border that I encouraged our guide to drive us there just so we could, you know, say that we had seen the border. And the border consisted of a sign that said, "Don't continue down this road," written in Lithuanian. And there were four rubber road cones, you know, orange cones, mm-hmm. in the middle of the road. And that was the big border between Lithuania and Russia.
Wow.
So very, without threat, you know, it was almost laughable in its simplicity. Now, I will confess, we didn't go past the
cones.
We didn't go past the cones.
Yeah, something else might have happened then.
You know, maybe 1,000 people would have come springing out of the woods. But the countries... I'm sure there's many of your listeners who have seen Frozen, and if they have kids or grandkids, they've probably seen the movie Frozen a billion times. I'm a big fan of the movie. I love Disney in general, and I especially love the music. But I have to tell you, I felt like I was on the set of Frozen.
Really?
For long portions of this trip. Whereas the church has been important in various times in the histories of these three countries, they don't really have a cathedral culture. So... it wasn't like France or Spain or Italy, where you're driving through these teeny little towns with giant Gothic cathedrals in the middle. Sure, there were church steeples scattered around, but the noteworthy thing on the skyline, whether you were in an urban area or in the rural areas, were castles. There were castles everywhere. And the people are also very, very pretty. The people are very Aryan. They're beautifully shaped. They have beautiful skin tone, beautiful hair, beautiful blue eyes, high cheekbones. I mean, however you judge beauty, the people from the Baltic states are very, very pretty people. And I don't know, just every day it was beautiful, pretty people dancing around castles, and I was dancing with them. And I just have to tell you that this is a stunning part of the world to visit. It felt safe, certainly as safe as any place else I've ever been, and I dare say a lot safer than our own country right now. Guns are unheard of. People don't have guns. It's not allowed. It's not a part of their culture. Some people go to church, some don't. People revere their history. People revere the church. People revere their culture. All three countries have a distinctively different language. And, of course, that was something that was, not allowed during the Soviet days. So these are countries that have kind of breathed in a fresh, huge, fresh breath of air in the last 33 years. And they're still inventing themselves. And they know the price of freedom. And they know what it feels like when you have no freedom. And that has a profound effect on just their celebration of life. And certainly the way they present their country to visitors. It was extraordinary.
Clayton, on your visits, I know you indicated this was a personal vacation for you, and it sounds like you had an extraordinary time. But, you know, being with Sports Leisure Vacations and scouting out trips to take your travelers, that's always got to kind of be in the front of your mind as well as the back of your mind. After this, can you see a Sports Leisure Vacations to one or all three of these locations?
I absolutely can. I went with an open mind, and obviously no matter where I go in this great planet of ours, I'm always thinking of future tour potential. But I have already mapped out a tour, and I'm hoping to get it on our calendar in the early summer of 2026.
Tom, one of the beauties of being, one of the beauties of being in the travel business, Clayton, you spent almost your whole life doing this. I have spent almost my whole life doing this. We don't really go on vacation. When, like you said, this was a personal vacation, except that it was what's called a familiarization tour. So it was put together by tour operators over there who wanted you to come and see their country. And I guess my point, Tom, is that when you're in the business that we're in, you don't really have personal vacations because, to your point, mm-hmm. you're always, whenever you're someplace, even if it's personal, you start thinking, wow, you know, this would be a really cool... I mean, I'm walking down the street of Fort Bragg last week and see a tattoo parlor, a bakery that sells edibles, a science museum, and a chocolate shop. And I'm thinking, wow, these would all four go together. And when I went back and asked my people if they thought that was a great idea, they roared. So the beauty of, Clayton, correct me if I'm wrong, but the beauty of this, of going out and having a personal vacation, is now that when you take people there, your personal vacation will become their personal vacation.
Absolutely. I was really, really lucky. My driver guide, and I'll put air quotes on the word guide. This is not something that he does for a living. But he's the husband of a tour operator that is based in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. And she's a member of our trade association, NTA, that we talk about very often on the show. So she's the one who encouraged me to come and give them a visit. And I was like, okay, but I'm not the go to a foreign country and rent a car guy. So how am I going to get around? And she was like, oh, my husband will drive you. And whereas he wasn't a tour guide per se, he was somebody who had grown up there. He was in his early 40s. So he spent his childhood as a member of the Soviet Union, but then his teenage years and his adulthood as a part of this free country. And his enthusiasm, his love of the Baltics, the stories he was able to tell of what it was like, you know, in the Soviet days, and pointing out monuments that dated to Soviet times and buildings that were built during the Soviet era and things they haven't quite worked out. For example, so that the Soviets intentionally could not easily access Europe, they have a different rail gauge. So, of course, this is a part of the world that's very dependent on rail travel. But, you know, when it, like magic, when the Soviet Union quit being on December 26, 1991, you know, the gauges of all the railroads didn't change that night. And they still haven't changed. So they're still dealing with infrastructure and just the realities of their past in big ways and small ways and ways... I mean, who thinks of rail gauge, you know, in ways that we don't even think about. But to them, it's still new and exciting, and they're still inventing themselves, and they're celebrating the freedom that they have that they paid a pretty big price for. Thankfully, it wasn't a price like World War II, but it's a price. You know, it didn't come free, and it didn't come easy, and bits and bobs of it still aren't coming easy. There's still a lot of Soviet buses in their bus pool, and at this point you can't get replacement parts. It kind of reminded me of the old cars, the old U.S. cars in Cuba, you know. So they're literally having to kind of connect them together with duct tape and clothes hangers. But you know, they're making do until they can do better, slowly rotating out the old and bringing in the new.
It sounds like that this is that Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania is for people who like adventures, who like to go places where they don't know. You know, you go to Rome and you have a list of things that you're going to do, and you go to Paris and you have a list of things that you're going to do. But when you went to Estonia and Latvia and Lithuania, you didn't have, I'm guessing, a list of things that you were going to do. So you tend to be that type of person also, an open-minded, adventurous sort of person. This, we can't go on forever here. And you've espoused a lot of stuff here. Was there one single thing? Let me ask you about the food first, and then we'll go to the one single thing. What was the food like?
The food is very, I would say, European continental. There were, they eat a lot of pork. Their food kind of leans towards what I would think of as Germanic food. Kind of meat and potatoes, folks. A lot of sausages, a lot of kraut, a lot of winter vegetables, because their winters are a lot longer than their summers. So it was heavy food, but really good food. Despite the fact they're all on the Baltic, they don't eat a lot of seafood, but they do eat a lot of freshwater fish, even catfish, which I had tasted nothing like catfish in Georgia, but it was good. They eat a lot of trout. Not heavy on salads, though there would be salads on the menu that you could order if you wanted it. But locals didn't eat salads. They didn't eat raw vegetables. They eat pickled vegetables and cooked vegetables. But the vegetables were there because they're marketing to Europeans and they're marketing to Americans, and their menus reflect, you know, we can go old tradition and eat their meat and potatoes, but if we're have health concerns, or and they also have a lot of Asian travelers.
Best food, best meal, something that was memorable.
I had venison on two or three occasions. That's big on their list. Uh-huh. I had bear sausage. I had boar sausage. I had elk steak. They eat a lot of game. Uh-huh. And that's just a part of their culture.
Okay. So before we go, something that really stuck out to you, or was really different or unique, or that when you took people there, boy, I want to make absolutely certain that they see this.
Oh my gosh. Well, for me, and many of you who are listening know that I'm a kind of a religious guy, I really wanted to go to the Lutheran Cathedral for church on the Sunday that we were there. So I was in Tallinn, the capital of Estonia. I went to a church that dated back to the early years of the Protestant Reformation. It was 500 years old. And, of course, I didn't know a word they were saying because the whole service was in Estonian. But the hymns were posted. I had a hymn book, and I sang. And I sang loud. And the lady next to me after church said, I know you don't know what you were singing, but you sang it really, really well, and I'm glad you were here. And I was just like, that's so cool. You know, when God's people get together and appreciate one another. So that's like my really, really sweet, special thing, that I went to this church and this lady noticed that I was trying hard. And that was kind of that was the very first day I was there. So that was my attitude the whole time, was just try hard to understand what these people are saying and what they're doing and how they're doing it, and then to try to do it that way, because that's how I'm going to get the greatest experience out of this.
What a great travel attitude.
Were there very many American travelers there when you were there, Clayton?
Certainly a few, but a lot more Asians. These countries are particularly popular with the Taiwanese and the Koreans, it appears. Don't know why. Some marketing scheme I don't know who decided that's the way it should be, but lots of Asians and, of course, lots of Europeans. This is kind of becoming a European playground. It's definitely Europe on sale. I mean, you get a beer for €4. You could have a really good lunch for €10. The cost of living there is low. And in the tourism arena, they're keeping it low as an attraction to get more visitors.
If all of this sounds entertaining or interesting to you, you could drop Clayton an email at clayton@sportsleisure.com, and tell him that you have an interest in this. I'm sure, and there will be an opportunity for Sports Leisure travelers to make their interest known. But this has just been fascinating. I went to Poland myself probably 25 years ago, and kind of felt like you, in that it was just I had no preformed opinions or anything. Just went and had a really good time, found some really wonderful people in a great country, and I've always wanted to go back there. So it sounds like you have had a similar experience in that, on that part of the planet. So for people who are looking for places that they haven't been, maybe this is, whether you go with us or you go on your own, sounds like this is something that you should put on your I want to check this out list.
Absolutely. The Baltic States, highly recommended.
Unbelievable. You know, we've had Clayton on a number of times over the years, and he always has great stories to tell, but he was more animated and more excited and got me excited about this last trip, the Baltics, than he's ever been before. He just made it come to life. I particularly enjoyed the story of going to the church and singing stuff he didn't really know, and the gal next to him going, wow, man, you're really into this. I really appreciate what you're doing.
If you know Clayton, I know there are more than one Sports Leisure traveler who listens to this program, so there are folks who know him who have listened to the program. That wouldn't be out of character at all for him to do something like that. And so, yeah, obviously made an impression on him, and that was why I wanted to let him on the program. I didn't know he was going to ramble on forever, but he was so excited. He had so many great things to talk about that, and you know, because those places were behind the Iron Curtain. They were part of the Soviet Union until just a short few decades ago. Most people have not been there. And there hasn't been a tremendous amount of promotion. It's not like, hey, you want to go to Lithuania because you have to see XYZ. So none of that has happened yet. So for folks who are a little bit more adventurous, this is a really good time to go. If the political situation changes, those folks might not have the same freedom to travel that they've had experienced the last few decades. So it's a part of the world that is available to us that wasn't available to us before. So if you're lamenting the fact that, you know, you went to Venice or Paris or someplace else, Barcelona got shot at by water pistols or something like that, and you said, gee, couldn't we go someplace where there aren't so many people? Maybe that's the place. Maybe so. So
maybe
thank you.
So.
Thank you to Clayton. Hey, a couple of things here before we go. Here's a Travelers United poll. I found this kind of interesting. Do you rely on reviews when choosing where to stay on vacation? Yes, I take my time and read them all, 64%. That's 2 out of 3. Yes, somewhat, but I am skeptical, 21%. So you add those two together, that's 85% of people who at least put some, and then there's several no answers here. But that's 85. That's what, 5 out of 6 that use reviews in some way? We've talked recent editions of this program about how, you know, not in every case are reviews accurate, and you kind of have to do your homework with them, too. Here's another Travelers United survey. This is fun, too. Maybe fun's not the right word. You have places in the United States that you will not travel to because of their state laws. Okay. Yes, specifically because of their gun laws, 39%. Now, the interesting part there is it doesn't say whether or not you don't travel there because it's not an open carry state, or you don't travel there because it is an open carry state. So four travelers out of 10 don't go to specific places because of gun laws. 45% of people say, yes, there are states they don't go to because of their laws, but for a variety of reasons, not specifically related to guns. And 16% of people said, no, I'm opening to visiting anywhere in the U.S. So for those of you who think that travelers don't pay attention to laws and personal things and stuff, indeed they do. Last item, national park behavior. I get a news feed last week from a company called SF Gate that sends out stuff, and there's this big picture of Yosemite National Park with a roll of toilet paper and, let's just say, evidence that a human being had been there, right out in a really scenic open place. And apparently when they started talking to rangers about this picture that somebody had sent them, this happens a lot. So for God's sake, if you're going to some place, a national park or something, behave yourself. Act like a human being, maybe, for all of us. And in the meantime, right, dance like nobody's watching.
All right, join us next week for more of the Travel Guys. We go to Vegas for the Big Dig. Stick around for that next week, Saturday, 11 a.m.